We're in the fourth week, I believe, of a teaching series called Amigos. And the tagline of this is, it's one of the sweetest joys of life. And I stole that from a quote by an author and speaker. His name is Charles Spurgeon. And this is what Spurgeon says about friendships. He says, friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not had a friend. Have you ever been through some like major stuff and you had like that one person there to like hold you up? Like you're on the floor, you're like broken, your heart hurts, your brain is about to explode with stress and anxiety. And that person wasn't there to solve your problem, but just to say, hey, I'm here for you. Breathe in. You ever had anybody like that? I know I have, and I can definitely relate with this. Like, if I were to hit rewind, I'd have to be extremely thankful that in that bitterness, in that pain, in that anguish, there were those folks around me to kind of like lift me up, say, Paul, you're not alone. So it means a lot. So as we go through the series, we're trying to see what, namely, the Bible says about friendships. The Bible is our plumb line, is our straight edge, if you will. We believe what it says, and we struggle with it sometimes, right? Like, and I invite us to like say, wait a minute, I don't get that. And it's like a step by step and a breath by breath and an invitation to ask questions. And in all of our brokenness and in all of our messed upness, that we'd kind of embrace each other and say, hey, let's do this together. So anyway, that's the series that we're on today. And I wanted to clarify, as we're 4 weeks into this, that when I say amigos and when we're doing a series about friendships, it's like a wide spectrum. It's not just like that BFF that you kind of dress like and you buy the same lipstick or maybe you listen to the same music. Those friends are great, but the series isn't to try and teach you to get one more friend on Facebook. We're trying to dig in and we're trying to look at all the relationships in our lives. Bosses, coworkers, neighbors, enemies, fiancés, spouses, folks who you haven't spoken to maybe in a while. And we're trying to see how can we be a good friend. Good friends, according to our plumb line, usually attract great friends as well. Now, what I don't want us to misunderstand in this is that we only look for friendships and people who are like us, because that's a clique. We're not teaching about cliques. I think that we're around enough of that already, perhaps in different contexts. I'd push to say that when we invite people into our lives who are different than us, that's beauty. Like, we have nothing in common except for looking at that person saying, not a mere mortal, in the words of C.S. Lewis, that we will never look at somebody who is just a mere mortal. Why? Because everybody's created with beauty by the hand of God. And he says, I've got a plan for you. And it's a great one. It's a beautiful one. It's not easy. It's tough. And at many times it will suck. But when we start to look at people with that value, with that inherent value that they have, when we start to be an amigo to them, there's beauty that begins to flourish from there. So if you are a note taker, this is the title for today's message, Thermometer or Thermostat. Just for the sake of all of us being on the same page, a thermostat and a thermometer have different purposes. A thermostat is this unit that is either in your vehicle or on the wall to your home or office or apartment, and it regulates the entire area. Right? That thermostat, you can set it at 72, And that means that if it gets too cold, it's going to regulate, and it gets too hot, it's going to keep it around that area that you want it, right? It's intelligent because it has the ability to do that. It has the ability to respond in different ways, right? Now, a thermometer, all it does is read what's happening already in its environment, right? That's all it does. In a way, it's kind of a dumb instrument. And if you love thermometers, don't hold it against me. I'm just going to use that for the sake of the explanation today. It will tell you exactly what that is, and you put it there, and it's like, this is what it is. And that's all it tells you, right? So going back to this idea of being an amigo, a friend, the question is, are we thermostat kind of friends? Or are we thermometer kind of friends? Here's one verse that we're going to use for this morning. It's in the book of Proverbs. A little bit of context for Proverbs. The majority of them are written by King David's son. His name is Solomon. A wise character, according to the Bible. And a proverb is defined as a wise saying. It's defined as an axiom, right? Like, and usually proverbs are comparative. They compare one thing to another thing. So as you go through Proverbs, and as we'll see this one this morning, and I invite you to download an app called the Bible app and look at different proverbs, you're going to see those qualities. A quick, usually short, no more than two sentences, wise saying, an axiom, and it's comparing this side, and then it says, and this side. So a little bit of context and background on the Proverbs. So in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, we see that people with understanding control their anger, and a hot temper shows great foolishness. So it kind of seems that fools have a short fuse, because in a way they're kind of like this, kind of like a thermometer, where they react according to what's happening in their environment. And all it does is rise or fall. It either gets really hot if you and I engage in a conversation, I don't like your idea, all I'm going to do. Because our default mode as people who are broken and struggling, we're full of sin and lust and pride and all of our junk that we all have, including me, then my default reaction will not be to put Clint first. My default reaction will be to say, hold on, let me one-up you. I have a friend who describes those as pole vaulting friendships, where you're like, you jumped this high, let me jump a little bit higher, and you move the bar up. And guess what? There is no authenticity of love in there. There is no you before me. There is no be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's let me prove to you how right I am. And then there's a gap in friendships. Let me maybe put it out there like this. It's easy to blow up when the situation merits a blow up. I'm going to say that again. Anybody can blow up when the situation merits it. You get the wrong look. That person suggests this about you. Anybody can react like a thermometer, get up in their face and say, well, don't you know? However, few can be quick to listen. Few can be slow to anger. So what do we do here? Well, we've got to step by step and moment by moment breathe in deeply and know that we've already been given what we need in order to do what we've been called to do. So we've been given the ability to love others. And the context of love and the definition of love according to where we're going is others before self. But since we struggle with that in everything we do, what kicks in is our flesh. And it's like, I will one-up you, I will cut you down, I will put you in your place, I'll walk away, floss a little bit, and post something on Facebook that is passive-aggressive. Or I'll go and have a conversation with somebody we know mutually, and I'll talk behind your back. Thermometer. It's hot. I'm going to blow up. Or you know what? She's indifferent. I'm going to be indifferent too. I care less. A thermostat, aka somebody with understanding, can control how they react. A thermostat sees an opportunity and they regulate and they say, let me set the tone for this group of friends who are around this table. Not because you're better than them, but because there is some wisdom and understanding in you. Because there might be a seed of love in here that is already maybe growing some roots, and some of the fruit is you before me. I'm okay if I don't get my way today. Because I'll trust that by being quiet and holding back and pulling the emergency brake on my tongue most of the times, but thoughts also, in some cases action too, but by pulling the emergency brake, it might make more of a difference than I just buck up to you. Because anybody can buck up to the guy they don't like, right? Anybody can buck up to their boss. Anybody can buck up to their neighbor. Anybody can say, you're wrong. Anybody can, right? Few can pull an emergency brake and say, huh, what if I'm okay if I don't get my way? I'll dance around you, that's fine. Maybe I can trust in future grace, aka that by me letting go of this in me right now, it can drop a seed and something beautiful can flourish there. That's future grace. I'm going to trust that by holding back, something beautiful can happen in the future. So here's some application for us. Amigos, friends, work. Don't miss that, please. It's not easy. If you hear me saying, walk out this door and we are like thermostats today and forever because life is easy breezy. If you're hearing that, then I'm sorry because that's not what I'm communicating. Doing life like this is step by step, is breath by breath. There's this deep tension between what we wish we could say and there's deep tension there between what the Spirit, aka God working in us a little bit every moment, allows us to say. It's hard work. In the words of Jesus, no matter where you're at in your beliefs, some would say he's a wise man, others would say he's a good teacher. Lord, submit to him. Right? Wherever you're at, we welcome where you stand because we trust that he does in our hearts what he needs to do at the appropriate time, right? So he says this. He says that when we're finding out more about him and we've submitted to him and he is Lord and we believe that, he says that it's hard work and he describes it using a metaphor that's pretty horrific. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. Not the Tiffany cross with the diamonds. Those are pretty and they're cute and they're expensive. Those are awesome. But the cross that Jesus talks about is a sign of torture. And he's saying, when you kind of get to know me a little bit better and you're doing life the way that I want you to do, this is what he's saying. It's tough. It's hard work. It's never easy. Never, ever, ever easy. But that's where the beauty comes into play, that when we trust doing things his way, that there is a payoff. Sometimes tangible, many more times intangible. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So anyway, amigos work to lovingly regulate every relationship. Every relationship. Like a thermostat, right? On the wall. I'm going to set it to this. And when the situation gets at this point, instead of blowing up and criticizing and pointing the finger at how wrong they are, I'm going to take a deep breath in. And I'm going to regulate. The thermometer sees that the temperature's rising, sees that they think different than you, and you're like, let me tell you, blah. And we wind up hurting each other so bad. And there are rarely opportunities to go back and try and heal that. There's a friend who does some nonprofit work, and I recently read an article online, and I thought that the article was relative to what he does. And I said, hey, check it out. And he responded to me in what he has now admitted furiously. He highlighted the article, made notes on it, and he said, the guy who wrote this article is an idiot. And he's like blowing up. He's like, here's my thought on this and that, and I don't agree. And I'm thinking, I didn't tell you this was gold. I said, hey, this overlaps with some of the work that you do. But do you see how he responded like a thermometer? He blew up. He said, they're not like me, different. I'm going to sit down with that author and tell him my peace of mind. Anybody can do that. We don't need people who are responsive upon what's going on around them. That won't make a difference in a world like this, because we have enough people like that already. We're called to be a light in the darkness, to salt up places where we live, work, and play, so that we can leave a flavor there. I'm going to be the thermostat, and I'm going to regulate my response and kind of things that are going on around me. It takes patience. It takes training. In the words of Paul, he says it's kind of like an athlete who goes and trains for the ultimate fight, right? He doesn't just show up the day of the fight. If you're an MMA fan or a baseball guy or a football guy, whatever you are, or girl, whatever it is, they don't show up to play the first game of the season. They did training camp. They did the abs. They did the kicks to the bags, right? They did all that. And then you flex your muscle a little bit and you're like, look at my skill. This is hard stuff, because our flesh reacts like that, like a thermometer. The Spirit provides guardrails to say, breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. Be different. Drop a seed. Believe in future grace that seed will grow into something, even if you get nothing back from it. That's why we're better together. Because I can sit down and say, dude, this is hard as heck. What do I do? And you look at me and you say, I don't know, Pollo, but I'm here with you. Let's have a Stella and a pretzel and let's walk. Let's continue to walk through this. We're better together. You keep me grounded. And when I see that you're kind of leaning this way, I'm like the little bump on the road that says, hey, turn back this way, dude. In love, not in criticism. I'm here for you. I want what's best for you. Let's do life together. So amigos work to lovingly regulate every relationship. I'll end up with this. Here's some implementation, right? Wherever you fall on the scale of your beliefs, whether you're checking us out today for the first time, you believe in this person, Jesus, just as a wise teacher or Lord or whatever it is, we are glad you're here. Here's some good advice for all of us. Sometimes we grow so cold to our ways that our hearts start to get hard. Like we've been hurt by people, by life, by situations. We've been around many thermometers and you're like, I'm just going to be like that thermometer because I'm done. Not taking any more of this. And I get that and I'm sorry for the pain. However, when we're introspective with ourselves and where we see that there are opportunities everywhere we go, live, work, and play, then it's important for us to repent and say, you know what? I've been that thermometer. I'm often that thermometer. Like I hear somebody who thinks different than me and I blow up. It's so healthy to repent. Repenting is like walking and then doing a face about and saying, no, I kind of get it and I need help. You know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous? Their first step is admitting that they need help. That's the very first step. I need help. We're so in love with ourselves and with our way of doing life that we never look in the mirror and say, I need help. Because you're like, I look good and I'm right and I'm wise and people better get out of my way. And we set the bar up here for people. And maybe we have opportunities to do the opposite. So it's good to repent and say, I need help. Who do you repent to? To me? No. You're like, God, will you help me? I've blown it. And I do blow it often. That's me. And you know what that does? It peels away a layer of hardening in our heart. Like what we've grown cold to and used to. It peels it away and it hurts a little bit. Yeah, it does. It does. But it peels it away and it starts to expose a little bit of the flesh. And then the heart starts to become responsive to how we treat others, to how we're in love with ourselves, to how much of a thermometer kind of relationship we put people through. So just some you time. I'm sorry. I've blown it. I need help. He shows up and he does help. And I'll end with this. Live, love. You hear me say this often. It's not a catchy thing that's on the wall or on bracelets or on our website. An amigo who lives love sees a situation and regulates their reaction. You walk into your workplace and you see that a coworker is having a bad day. You don't respond like your coworker because that explodes. I mean, you don't have to be spiritual to understand the dynamic of that, right? You put two bombs in the same place, the explosion is greater, right? What if you regulate that coworker's having a crappy day? It doesn't matter why. You have had crappy days and you will have many. That's life. What if the reaction is, how can I help you today? Can I serve you? Can I get you lunch today? Guess what's going to leave a mark? Blowing up or serving and loving them? You walk into a situation where there's gossip and there's criticizing of a person who is not present. What if you're the one who regulates and you're like, you know what, why don't we wait for Bob to be here and we can tell Bob what we think about him? Not in a condescending, prideful kind of way, but a loving way. My wife has this rule about her friends where if her friends are not around a table to talk about that person, she says, you know what, why don't we wait for Bob's wife to be here? It's all about Bob and Bob's wife. And that keeps there from being criticism behind people's back? What if there's an opportunity? So this thermostat kind of friendship, it goes both ways. It's not just in bad situations. It's in good situations too. What if you walk into a situation, family or friend, and there's something to celebrate? What if you regulate and you celebrate with that instead of, why did you nail that? I wanted that. You don't deserve it more than I. What if you celebrate and you're like, yeah, let's sit around the table. Let's invite some folks and let's rejoice. Cheers. So it goes both ways. Guess what's going to leave a mark? Why did you? Or, hey, I want to do life with you. Let's celebrate this good thing that's happening. There's a situation where there's hope and despair and there's sadness. You have an option, right? You can be the regulator who lives love and you sit there. You just hold that person's hand and you say, I'm sorry. I'm with you. I'm going to pray for you. Let's go grab a meal. I invite us as we go on with life, as we enter our workplaces and our hangout places later today or beginning tomorrow. Be an amigo who regulates the environment and does not respond. And we're able to do that because the good news for all of us, no matter where we're at, is that Jesus is that one faithful friend. That one faithful friend who looks at our lives and he says, no matter where we're at, you believe, you don't believe, you get it, you don't get it, you are hurt and bitter by this. And he says to you and to me today, he says, I'm with you and you are mine and you are special. And there is great value in you. And that's the good news for all of us across the board. That's the fuel that allows us to do life like that. Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for your word. Allow it to plant a root in our heart and produce fruit this morning and through, honestly, the rest of our lives when we interact with spouses, fiancés, coworkers, enemies, friends, family. Lead us in your name. Amen.